You're listening to the Sabina Road Baptist Sermon Series. We hope this message greatly impacts your life. For more information on the mission and ministries of Sabina Road Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, visit us online at sabinaroad.org.
Good morning, Sabina Road. My name is Dr. Roger Daniels. I am the Vice President of New Life Counseling and Leader Care for Arizona Baptist Children's Services. Pastor Dallas is not here today. He's had an obligation last week and this week, and Pastor Tim asked me to come and fill in today, and I count it a privilege to be here to be able to share with you. And so, if you don't mind, if you want to find a place in your Bibles, we'll be taking a look at Joshua chapter 14 as we consider God's Word today. You know, not long ago, had lunch with a colleague who was still actively practicing marriage and family therapy at the age of 87. And our conversation was interrupted over and over by the rings and tings of his smartphone. And he was insistent on responding to text messages and emails. And although I was a bit annoyed, I commented on his ability to operate his device. And his response was, "Oh, if it's a gadget, I'm into it." And then he turned the screen toward me and he said, "Did you know you could download books on these things?" Well, yeah, I knew that. He said in response, he says, "You know, I'm hoping to finish Tolstoy's War and Peace before the Marriage and Family Conference in Phoenix next month. Are you going to that? You're going to that, aren't you?" And taken aback, on the inside, I said, "Marriage and Family Conference? War and Peace? Really?" Because the thought of attending another conference added to my sense of fatigue. And War and Peace? Enough said. But lunch that day inspired me. My colleague had seen 87 birthdays. And he was looking forward to the next challenge. I began lunch that day thinking I'd had enough challenges. Birthdays come around once a year, don't they? Birthdays represent different things to different people. They can be something to which we look forward or something we look upon with dread and deception. In our culture, certain birthdays represent significant milestones or rites of passage. You ever notice that? They say nowadays that it's important that you have your Social Security number by the time you're 1 year old. In Hispanic culture, the quinceañera on the 15th birthday marks the transition of a girl into womanhood. At 16, most teenagers are looking forward to that moment when they can achieve the desired driver's license. At age 18, you're considered legally to be an adult. They say that age 30 is the beginning of middle age. By age 40, they say you should be established in your career and expect to be having your first midlife crisis. By age 50, you begin getting things in the mail from AARP asking you to send them money. And at age 65, they usually designate that as the milestone for retirement, but I think they keep moving the goal line on that. The ways in which birthdays are celebrated are as varied as the people who celebrate them. And ceremonies around birthdays usually, at least in my experience, involve cake, ice cream, and presents. Not too long ago, I guess it's been a while ago, with my wife, when it came to the occasion of her birthday, and our children were still in school age at that time. So I asked her, "Where do you want to go for your birthday dinner?" And her response was, "Let's go to Peter Piper because I don't have to watch the kids." Birthday customs. The observances for birthdays date back thousands of years. Ancient superstition held that evil spirits were more dangerous to a person on their date of birth. So birthdays were celebrated with family and friends who surrounded that person of honor with laughter and joy in order to protect them from the evil spirits. Hence the tradition of wishing somebody a happy birthday. And in various cultures and various countries around the world, birthdays are celebrated in different ways. Again, usually in our culture, ice cream, cake, presents, number of candles on the cake that correspond with the number of years that a person has achieved. Make a wish and blow out the candles, we say. But back in the days of Joshua and Caleb, the traditions were just a little bit different. In his day, it was not make a wish and blow out the candles, it was give us a request. And when Caleb was asked that question, his response was surprising. His response in verse 12 of chapter 14, depending upon your translation, was give me the mountain, or give me this hill country. Sounds a little strange. But Caleb, he had a past in which he could glory. Look with me at verse 6 and following. Chapter 12 of the book of Joshua. It says, then the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea? I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me out from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought word back to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear, but I followed the Lord and my God fully. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land upon which your foot has trodden will be the inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord your God fully. Now behold, the Lord has let me live, just as he spoke, these 45 years from that time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am 85 years old today. Caleb is speaking to Joshua. And they're having this conversation. And in my sanctified imagination, I just imagine, as it says in verse 6, that the children of Judah came to this place in Gilgal. And it was probably the place where the older gentlemen were hanging out drinking coffee at the local Starbucks or McDonald's there in Gilgal. Again, that's my imagination. It's not really, there's a Starbucks there, okay, back in those days. And they're talking back and forth. And I imagine the conversation went something like this. That Caleb looks over at Joshua and says, you remember that time when Moses told us to go to spy out the land? And he's referencing what was given to us in Numbers chapters 13 and 14. So remember when Moses told us to go and spy out the promised land? And we went over there, I went along with the spies, and we brought back a report of the way that the cities were fortified, and all the enemies of God were there. And we came back, and the other spies that were with me, they said, boy, it's tough. I don't know if we can go in and take this land. And I imagine Joshua looking back, and Caleb said, yeah, but I remember what you said when you came back. You said we ought to go up and conquer that land because God's going to be with us. And they're bantering back and forth, and they're talking about the good old days. And here is Caleb on his 85th birthday, having a past in which he could glory. Now, this is something that can be said of many of us. Many of us here today, we have had the opportunity to look back and see all the glorious things that God has done in our lives. I've had the opportunity to hear some of your stories. And they're fascinating accounts of faith and sacrifice and courage and triumph. And sometimes it's interesting that when we tell those kind of stories, we get the reaction kind of like my adult daughters. When I begin to tell them stories about sacrifice and triumph and victory in my own life, they kind of pull out their smartphones again and say, yeah, that's nice, Dad. And they go back to looking and surfing and whatever. Are there areas of our past that we might be ashamed of? The answer is yes. Are there things that if we had to do them over, would we make a different choice? Absolutely. But in spite of that, I like to think that at least in some ways, we, like Caleb, have a past in which we can glory. Not just us as individuals, but as a church. Same could be said of Sabina Road Baptist Church. Because Sabina Road Baptist Church does indeed have a rich history of leadership in missions and sacrifice and evangelism and ministry innovations. 27 years in a row, you've continued to give to Caring Ministries, a part of Arizona Baptist Children's Services. You support the baby bottle campaign We're a participation in the cooperative program. There's so many ways that we are impacting the community and have in the past. For more than a few of us, we can certainly recognize that we have a past in which we can glory, celebrate. But that begs the question, what about now? Just like Caleb, who had a past in which he could glory, he also had a present in which he could rejoice. Look at verse 10, if you don't mind. Now behold, the Lord has let me live, just as he spoke, these 45 years from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, when Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am 85 years old today. I'm still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now, for war and for going out and for coming in. Then he gives that request. Now, give me this hill country. One of the most difficult things for a person in our culture to do, I think, is to stay in the moment. These were reflections of a man who's able to pause and take a deep breath and appreciate the blessings of the moment. And most of us, and I would confess that I struggle with this as well, to be able to stay in the moment and to be able to take a breath for a minute and look around and to realize the goodness and the grace that is of God that is around us. And if you doubt that, let me do a little bit of an experiment. I'm wondering right here, right now, as fascinating as my speaking ability is, some of you, I'm sure, are letting your minds wander a little bit. Maybe just one or two of you. Or you're thinking about things that you have to do this afternoon, or things that are upcoming this week that are part of your responsibilities. Or maybe your mind is fixed on something that happened to you yesterday, or last week, or last month. And the fixation is there, and the energy is there, and you're worried about all that, and it's difficult for you to stay in this particular moment, or any moment for that matter. Our schedules sometimes get too full, and our lives get too busy. So much so that our mind can't help but wander to those things that you've got to get accomplished. Most of us have a present in which we can rejoice, but we don't. We seem to always be looking on to the next challenge or to the next amusement. And in doing so, we miss the joy of savoring each moment and the blessing therein. Things like that first drink of hot coffee in the morning, or the warmth of the sun as it pushes away the darkness at dawn, or the sound of a toddler laughing, or the coolness of a breeze on a warm day, or the fragrance after the rain here in the desert, or the glow of orange and red in the horizon at sunset, or the beauty of the stars in the southern Arizona sky, or even the touch of the Holy Spirit that assures us of God's presence and power. Again, just like individuals, just like Caleb rather, we have a present in which we could rejoice, but we're usually too preoccupied. The same thing can be said as a church. And we've certainly had our ups and downs here at Sabino Road. Currently, we have Pastor Dallas, who's filling in as an interim pastor, being led by God to help us to facilitate discussion and help us to pray and to seek and to find out what God's will is for our lives and for this, his church. And at some times, we get a little impatient. Maybe we get a lot impatient. When are we going to have a pastor? How long is Dallas going to be with us and have these meetings and this leadership stuff? When are we going to form a committee? How close are we to the end of the process of finding a new pastor? See how we get caught up on all of that instead of in the moment saying, God, what do you want for us today? What do you want to do in our lives individually and as a church today that's going to prepare us and help us for your plan and your purpose the next day, the next week, or the next month? See, Caleb, as he's talking on his birthday, he has this past in which he can glory. And he has this moment in which he can rejoice and he can savor. And I think that's one of the things that we miss so much, just to be able to stop, and as the psalmist says, to be still and know that He is God. One more thing about Caleb. Not only did he have a past in which he could glory, and a present in which he could rejoice, he had a future in which he could rest. 85 years old. But he didn't rest. Look again, verse 10, follow. Now behold, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke these 45 years. This is after the 40 years. But he was 40 years old when he went into the land to spy it out. From the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness, and now behold, I'm 85 years old today. I'm still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me, and my strength was then, so my strength is now, for war, for going out, coming in. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that Anakim were there with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken. Now I realize that Caleb, on his 85th birthday, has something to rejoice about when he says, I'm just as strong today. By the grace of God, I'm as healthy and as strong today as I was then. And unfortunately, not all of us can say that. Whatever birthday you may be at, it may be that there's lots of aches and pains in your body. It may be that your body cannot keep up with your spirit. And so it would be difficult for you to say, hey, I'm just like Caleb here at 85 years old, I'm just as strong, because I don't feel strong. Some of us feel weak physically. Some of us feel pain physically. Some of us feel weakness emotionally. We feel pain emotionally. Some of us think of ourselves as weak spiritually and have pains and disappointments spiritually before God and with others. Caleb had an opportunity. He had a future in which he could rest and he could say, I've had enough. But he didn't say that. Instead, he looked out the window at Sabina Road Baptist Church and saw the mountain and said, I want that. Give it to me. Because I remember the days when we went into the land and we spied it out and the Anakim were there. And the Bible tells us that the Anakim were such great and towering people. They were strong and muscular and towering. And the Bible describes the Israelites as grasshoppers in their sight. And in spite of that, Caleb says, hey, we got to go. We got to go to that hill country. Oh, but there are large cities there. Not just large cities, but large fortified cities. See, today we think of the cities as the evil places. You don't want to go to the inner city. You don't want to go to certain places in the city because it's filled with crime, violence, and suspicion, and corruption. In those days, it was the wilderness that was evil. That's where the robbers hung out, and the thieves, and the bandits. And the cities were the safe places. Why? Because they had fortified walls. And at a certain time at night, they would shut the gates of the city. And if you made it inside the city before nightfall, it was a safe place. And so Caleb had said, look, we were up against these people that were huge. And they were up against these people who lived in these large fortified cities. And I still see that on the mountain, on the hillside. And in spite of that, Caleb says, give me the mountain. He could have rested, but he didn't. Just think what would happen if each of us here today would have the same kind of request as Caleb. A past to glory in, a present to rejoice in, and a future where we could rest, but we choose not to rest and say, give me the mountain. Now I know what you're thinking. Even on his 85th birthday, God had blessed him, and his health and stamina were intact, but yours is not. I already talked about that. And I want you to know that I hear you. Last I checked, there's plenty of Advil and Tylenol available over the counter. Last time I checked, there's plenty of counseling available at Arizona Baptist Children's Services. Last time I checked, there's a number of good people who are sitting in the pews next to you who want to love you and support you just like you love and support them. And for some of us, the answer is not just looking to those. The answer is about letting go and trimming out some of that extra stuff in our lives. Some of the stuff that gets in the way. Even the church stuff that clutters and busies our lives. Some of us are so busy that we can't remember the last time we stopped to reflect and rejoice on the goodness of God's love. When I work with people in counseling, and sometimes when I work with people in groups, support groups, and group therapy, I teach them this prayer. And sometimes I'll even say to them, I want you to stop all the praying you're doing for a day or two. They look at me like, what? You're telling me to stop praying? No, I want you to pray this prayer. And this is the prayer that I teach them, a very simple prayer. I just said, I want you to stop several times a day. I'll say it's a doctor's prescription taken off and is needed. I just simply say, God, thank you for loving me and accepting me just the way I am right now. And that's all I want you to pray for a couple of days. And that kind of prayer is so transforming. It affirms in a person's heart God's love for them and God's acceptance of them. And it allows them to slow down for just a little while to, again, take a deep breath and utter that simple little prayer that is so affirming and so heartwarming. Some of us today are sitting back, glorying in the accomplishments of the past. And I can hear what you're saying. Give me this mountain, you say. I've climbed enough mountains. I don't want any more. Time to sit back and let someone else take over. I'm not sure how that's pleasing to God. To each of us, I say, find one thing, one ministry, one opportunity, not so much in the church, but in the kingdom of God, one thing that God is putting in front of you that may be such a challenge you think, oh no, I can never do that. And let God's Spirit dig deep out in your heart and see if you have the place to say, I want that mountain, because God is giving you that impulse. See, nothing is out of the question. We always think about the large, splashy things that we do in God's kingdom. A lot of the things that happen up front here with the music and the preaching and some of the stuff that happens behind the scenes in childcare and other kind of ministries. But there are those quiet, private ministries of encouragement and prayer and work that go on that none of us ever see, but God sees. When I was on staff at Tabernacle Baptist Church, Decatur, Illinois, I was the associate pastor there for about 12 years. It was a pretty large church. We had a 1,200-seat worship center. And, we had stuff in the back of the pews like we have here. And once in a while, we get reminded to kind of pick things up and don't leave a lot of clutter. Put things back in the seat pockets if you don't mind. I've heard that said here. It's a good thing. And most of us do a pretty good job of that. In a 1,200-seat auditorium, we had hymnals. And I don't know why we had hymnals. We put all the words on the screen. Anyway, we had hymn books, we had visitors' cards, we had tracts and things in the seat pockets behind the seats and the pews. And it seemed like every Sunday those would get all messed up and scattered. And we had two ladies in our church, two older ladies who required the assistance of walkers to get around. And they would come every Monday. And they would go all the way through the pews, and they had those little aprons with pockets that they wore, and in those pockets were all the tracts and visitors' cards, and they went through every pew and every row and straightened up and replenished those every Monday morning. You know what? Very few other people in the church knew that. You know what I think? I think that those are the most important ministries that happen in the church and in God's kingdom. And I want you to know that you do, I know that many of us do those kind of things. And that's part of God calling us and saying, I want that mountain. And I want you to know that maybe nobody else sees it, but God sees it, and God loves you for it. So can we say, as Caleb said, today, whatever birthday you've celebrated this year, can you say, as he said, give me the mountain? He had a past in which he could glory. Read that passage over again. See how he's dropping names, man? Moses' name. I could just see those young people sitting around listening to Caleb and Joshua talk. And Caleb's talking about, yeah, I remember Moses. Wow, I'm impressed. He had a past in which he could glory, a present in which he could rejoice, a future in which he could rest, but he didn't. And notice that expression of faith in the last verse there, verse 12. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out, as the Lord has spoken. I think it was more in his mind than just perhaps. I think Caleb had the confidence that as he journeyed forward toward that mountain, that God would be going before him and empowering him. He'll do that with us. We let him. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a minute? What a request. What a life. What an opportunity. Each of us on Sundays walk through these doors carrying burdens in our hearts, in our thoughts, in our bodies. Burdens of uncertainty, burdens of guilt, shame. Others come with a sense of rejoicing and anticipation. Don't know what your status is today. It's not any of my business, but it's the business of you and God. And it just might be that you walk through these doors today with that kind of attitude of, I'm tired, I'm hurt, I'm in pain. And it may just be that God's Spirit right now working on your heart saying, come on, help me climb this hill. Just look up and see it. We'll journey together if you let me. God, we come before you as our source of strength and hope. We acknowledge you as that. God, I know that your word tells us that it's impossible to please you without faith. Confidence, trust. And dear God, I pray for that one here today who's feeling the fatigue and burden and who's not quite sure they can take another step. I pray, dear God, that your Spirit is empowering them, ministering to them at this moment. I pray for the others who have said it's time to take a rest. Let somebody else take over. God, I pray your Spirit's power upon that person to encourage them, envision them with what you've got before them. Dear God, we open this time for your people to respond beyond how each person's responding in their own hearts where they sit right now. Dear God, we open this time if there's anyone who needs to respond to your proclaimed word today, to respond in obedience, to follow Christ as Savior, to unite with this church, to recommit themselves to you. Whatever way you would have your people respond, we give you this time.